Hello and welcome to the Becoming Podcast. I am your host, Anne Fancy, and I'm excited that you're here and listening. The intention and the inspiration behind this podcast is simply to continue conversations that I've had on the mat with students over the years, conversations of growth and evolution, of peeling back the layers of conditioning, and really learning to listen, look, hear, and become more aware of our own innate gifts, stories, talents, and really the highs, the lows, the in-betweens that led us on this path that we now are walking. So I hope you choose to listen and subscribe as we continue conversations both with inspiring humans and also just with me chatting with you. I so appreciate you taking the time today to listen and look forward to future talks. Today's guest is Rachel. She is a light worker, for lack of better language. She has had the ability to sense, hear, and read energy since the time she was a very small child, and had some really insightful moments in her life that broke her open to the greater purpose of allowing this energy to help others find more deep, meaningful alignment within their own lives, to clear energy that isn't serving them. And I think you're going to love this conversation. I hope you come at it with an open heart and an open mind. Here we go. I am really, really grateful to be sitting here with Rachel. Rachel is one of those people whose name came up in my life at least 6 times over the last 6 months. And everybody kept saying, have you heard of Rachel? Have you heard of Rachel? And Rachel honors privacy. So Rachel it is, right? And she'll definitely keep some boundary around what she'll share. But this conversation is sure to be fascinating and inspiring. And I'm really excited that you're here. So thank you for doing this, Rachel.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Yeah, I'm excited too.
Good. So much of what I like to do and share is allowing people to give a little bit of pieces of how you got to the work that you do. Rachel calls herself, for lack of better language around it, an energy reader. Is that a fair enough assessment of what you call yourself?
I work with energy. I think I don't call myself anything.
Okay, you call yourself nothing. Okay,
I call myself nothing, but if you have to categorize it, it's I'm a light worker, so... Okay.
Describe what you mean by that.
So it's people that work with energy and they come to turn the light in situations or in the world or for people rather than darkness, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll start there. Okay.
We'll start there.
So as a light worker, what I would love to hear is as much as you're willing to share from the I always call them breadcrumbs, like Hansel and Gretel following the path, right, that led you to where you're to being a person who works with light and energy now. What happened? You called them milestones, I think, in your life. And whichever ones you feel are relevant to share, feel free to start there. And I'll just bump in questions when I think the listeners will need to know more.
Okay. So I grew up thinking and feeling like I was out of my element and that I'm not from here. Everything felt strange and I didn't feel belong. And I remember often I was looking to the sky and asking God, did you make a mistake? What am I doing here? Mm-hmm. I don't want anything from the world. I don't understand social interactions. I don't understand humans. So it was very challenging because I already felt that I'm not home. Mm-hmm. I was very sensitive in the sense that I sensed things that other people don't sense. I could feel what people feel. I would take it personally, their pain or when they're not happy. Mm-hmm. I had such a strong sense of sense of justice. So,
as a child,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So many times I didn't understand grown ups. I didn't understand human systems and social systems. So it was very challenging. And as I grew up, I've noticed I kind of have the heads up about things all the time. And people kind of categorize that as you have a future as a good psychologist or mm-hmm. a therapist.
Like as a child.
Mm-hmm. You're very gifted in understanding human nature. Mm-hmm. And years after, I realized I was receiving intuition. It was nothing to do with psychology. Mm-hmm. I took life very seriously as a young child, and I felt a lot, and I felt like I knew a lot of things before they happened. I spent a lot of time in silence and observing and learning, mm-hmm. and learning my surrounding and learning human interaction and with the universe and universe functionality. So that's like the groundwork, mm-hmm. right? That's my environment. I didn't have anyone to guide me, and I didn't have an adult or someone that says it's okay to be the way you are. Mm-hmm. So I felt weird. I felt something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. I didn't attribute that as a positive thing. But I listened to my own intuition. It always guided me. I followed it. And it never failed me. But it's not something I necessarily said, oh, I'm going to ask my intuition or I'm going to trust my intuition. Because mm-hmm. I got the message from my environment that it's not something to be proud of. It's not something special. I felt like a negative attitude towards it.
Yeah.
Really, the big change happened. I just wanted to go back to and touch that. During high school and middle school, I always gave advice and people always came to me and they called me the judge, the psychologist. Like, so the fact that I had good advice, quote unquote, was mm-hmm. known to everybody, but no one attributed to any spiritual abilities.
Was there language for that in the culture you were raised in or the faith you were raised in?
We talk a lot about intuition, but it's not something that today people are much more open to it.
Yeah.
But as I was growing up, it's not something that maybe my immediate family wanted to believe that I mm-hmm. have. And it's really hard to say. People are they trust in God and they're trusting that everything comes from God and it's meant to be, but they're not necessarily putting intuition as the first thing you should listen to or that you should develop. Mm-hmm. And today things are definitely changed in the world in general.
Sure.
We're much more open and aware to that, but not when I was growing up.
And I think that's what, just to interrupt you for one second, is so relatable, is that maybe people aren't working in the work that you're doing, but I think that I've met a lot of people who very similarly felt sensitive and that they saw the world through different eyes than the adults did around them, but that it was squashed and that we found ways to armor up and protect. So I think that perhaps your story is more unique in how far it's taken you, but I think it's so relatable to be a child and not have language for how you're seeing and understanding the world.
I agree with you, and I will tell you, I would go on the bus or the train, and I would sense everything, and I would start to get, like, sweaty and panicky, and I thought something's wrong with me. Oh, I'm insecure, or I'm feeling that people are better than me. I attribute that to insecurity, and people look at me, and they think I'm damaged, and it wasn't that. I was actually sensing energy. I grew up to understand what I was sensing, but I already was sensing their energy, their emotions, mm-hmm. their stuff, and I didn't know. So I attributed it as something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. So I basically grew up thinking something's wrong with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I can relate to that. I was debilitatingly anxious as a child, panicked from the time I was 2 or 3, just panicking, anxious all the time, and took me to doctors and what was wrong with me, right?
Exactly,
inherently, yeah. Nothing was wrong with me. The world is what I felt was really, I wasn't supported in that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but I think we're very busy and adults are very busy and many times I don't have the time or the energy to just pay attention to mm-hmm. those little things in their kids.
Nor the language or right. understanding them. You know, they had their own concept. So to understand what you were going through, and you probably didn't have language to even explain that in a way. What you were experiencing, right? It was just who you were.
I was acting up a little bit. I would cry. I would want attention. I would try to explain. Mm-hmm. But I think it was a tribute to sensitivity, not in a good way. Not like you're sensing things.
No,
rather than you're right. too sensitive. You're taking too much to the heart.
Yeah, toughen up.
Exactly. Yeah. I definitely build up an armor around so people can see. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like I'm transparent, like I go on the bus and they can still see me, but I was actually seeing them, but I didn't realize that. Mm. So I go on about my life and then I'm in my teens or my late teens and my friend and I go to the supermarket close to my house. My mom asked me as I exit the door to buy ice cream. And I forget about the ice cream and go to the supermarket. It's Friday. They're almost closing the store. And my friend and I are going to pay. I'm standing in the cash register, and I'm starting to hear my voices again, my intuition that only I listen to. And it really yells in my head, go get the ice cream, go get the ice cream. And I'm fighting with it for a minute, and then I'm saying, fine, I'm going to go get the ice cream. And it keeps screaming in my head. So I grab on my friend's hand and I pull her after me. And in the supermarket, the freezer was kind of low. So you had to like bend in order to get the ice cream. So we bend into the freezer and then the supermarket explodes. Mm. So exactly where I stood a minute ago.
Yeah.
We had a terrorist attack. Mm. And a young woman was standing there wearing bombs on her body, and she activated the device right when I was bending to the freezer. And my life was saved, and my friend's life was saved. And then I knew...
Because the voices.
The voices. Yeah. I want to cry every time I tell the story.
Yeah, I have, like, endless chills happening in waves. Yeah.
I owe them my life. I'm so mm-hmm. grateful to them. I knew then that I am not crazy, and there's nothing wrong with me. I didn't know exactly what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. But I knew I have a voice in my head that talks to me, and that's the same voice that I knew that was my intuition, and it's the same voice that talks to me when people talk to me, and mm-hmm. it always tells me what's behind the scene. Mm-hmm. So every time I talk to someone or I'm in a situation, I hear that voice, and it gives me the heads up all the mm-hmm. time.
Do you think that voice, do you have a word for that voice? Do you think it's what people call consciousness or higher self or soul, or how do you quantify it, or do you even try? You know, Rachel's very clear about her language, so I'm trying to also honor that and not put words in your mouth, but yeah.
I call it knowing. I think everything already happened, including the bomb attack in the mm-hmm. supermarket, and someone or somebody or somehow, I become knowing sometimes of things, mm-hmm. And I was knowing. And that knowing came in the way of sound, because we're human. That's how we receive information, mm-hmm. by sound and other senses. So I just became knowing. And people can call it intuition or whatever they choose to mm-hmm. call it. It's the same. But we literally become knowing of what is. Mm-hmm. So I became knowing of what is. But I also think in my case, I had another layer of protection. Someone who passed away, making sure I would listen to that knowing, and pushed me. That was screaming in my head, go get the ice cream.
Yeah.
It wasn't like soft, like I teach people, quiet. Like it's soft, intuition is soft and quiet. That was not intuition. That was like, go get the ice cream
that
now.
That was demand.
That was demand.
Yeah. So interesting. So I know people are going to say, you just said, I think everything has already happened, right? And so we're just going to have to head that one out, because I know it's going to be a question. They're like, what did she mean by that? I think what people are going to say, are you saying it's all predetermined, which I just asked you before we recorded, right? And maybe just touch on free will a little bit, because I think otherwise people are going to end up down rabbit holes that...
Yeah, right. Yeah. So free will, it's the most important thing we have. And it's a law agreed by the spiritual and the physical world, and no one is allowed to alter or take it. Mm-hmm. And there are high consequences to taking or affecting free will. And we call black magic mm-hmm. any practice, any spiritual practice that takes someone's free will. That would be black magic.
Okay.
Okay? Or alter things that are meant to be, that also black magic. Mm-hmm. So when I say everything already happened, I want to say that there's no time mm-hmm. and all scenarios already exist. So all the roads that lead to one place exist.
Okay.
The end is known to everybody, and you get to the end. The way you're going to get there, all the possibilities exist. Mm-hmm. The free will comes when you choose. You choose if you're going to stay in your set point or you're going to evolve. If you're going to evolve, you're going to increase your voltage. Mm-hmm. People call it frequency. Mm-hmm. Once you increase your voltage, you become a match to better options, better mm-hmm. scenarios. Mm-hmm. So this is the free choice, okay?
Yeah.
We're free to choose between what already exists.
Yeah, okay.
Now, everything already exists.
Right.
So it's...
Do you think there's a better or best path, or there's no judgment one way or the other about whether everything's neutral?
There is a better path, and we collect energetic credit. I talk about it a lot.
I wrote a question down about this. Yeah. You talked about it the other day. So talk about what energetic credit is. We'll come back. We'll weave your story back in. I know we're not done there.
No problem.
Yeah, but we'll just go down whatever path we get led on
here.
So talk about energetic credit. Do you think that's like what people call karma to some extent?
Karma is inbounded in that. It's part of it. We each have a bank account with the divine.
Okay.
And that bank account embodies all the energy we collect in all lifetimes, but specifically as humans. And things like, I don't want to say like doing good things necessarily, things that we do from a pure heart, mm-hmm. without agenda, without expecting to receive anything, mm-hmm. Things that help and aid other people, those are typically the things that we collect energetic credit with.
So positive credit. You're increasing your bank account number.
Exactly. So we do actually, each of us have a bank account. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. We have a currency, okay? Mm-hmm. Energy is mm-hmm. currency, and we collect it. The question is, what can we do with it? Mm-hmm. We can manifest. We can use our power to bless and move energy. Mm-hmm. And as we transfer and transform to a soul, we can actually communicate a lot with people here.
Okay.
So souls who come a lot and communicate with us tend to be souls who have a lot of energetic credit.
Got it.
Energetic credit is very important. It's not about being a good or bad person, but okay. I want to say that the universe doesn't care for good or bad, mm-hmm. in the sense of a small. This I hope I'm making clear, because I know it's very. I know it's a very hard thing to accept.
Well, no, I think, I mean, I have, you're not the first person I've heard say this, so when I think it doesn't make sense, I'll ask you another question. But what you're saying with good and bad is that the universe, whatever you call the universal database, some God, people understand it to be, right? But not guy in the sky God. Sort of just, how would you, let's just go there for a second.
Let's go there, okay.
then we'll go back to what this credit is and good and bad, but.
We are God. Mm-hmm. We are an extension of the divine energy. Mm-hmm. We are beautiful, bazillions expression of it,
yeah.
And some of us also stay in the higher worlds. Mm-hmm. The rest of that energy, we call it God, we call it the divine.
Yes.
Okay, so the...
What people describe this as is that part of your soul embodies as a human, and part of that energy, soul, spirit, whatever we're calling this, part of your energy also stays up at Source, the universal database, the collective?
Yes, but also, I don't want to say part because we're one.
Right.
So...
Right. Right.
We're but one. We're one
humans
energy.
Can understand right. it. It's as if.
I'm going to make it easier.
Okay,
we
make
are
it easier.
One, we are one energetic field.
Yes.
And we, each of us is like a little flame that embodies a body.
Mm-hmm.
And in that experience, we also receive a bank account that okay. collects our energetic credit.
Okay.
And we become responsible for our individual experiences as that flame inside that body.
But as part of the larger fire.
And also, as part of the larger fire, we are God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, back to good or bad, since there's no, I think so many of us were raised in a faith that was like there's a punisher and, you know, that people deserve punishment. And, you know, I was raised in the Christian faith, so there's hell and you're going to be punished for your bad choices. So I think it's difficult for humans to undo that frame of mind. And they think that if people do bad, they are bad and that the universe must think they're bad. So how do you explain that?
From my perspective, there's no good or bad. There is high and low and what's meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of people who we don't define as good people, but they are very rich and very successful.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we explain that? That stands in contradiction to the notion that good or bad, and if you're good, you receive a lot, and if you're bad, you don't.
Yeah.
We receive things based on what we believe we are worthy of.
Mm-hmm.
And because we are made from so many parts, all our parts need to be in agreement, in an alignment with what we believe we are worthy of.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people tell me, oh, I know I'm worthy. But if you're not acting like you're worthy in your actions and how you let people treat you, for mm-hmm. example, then you're not believing you're worthy.
Right. If your voltage and frequency aren't actually mm-hmm. emitting worthiness, then it's a different. Then you're not going to attract right. what you think you attract. Maybe not the right word, but manifest.
Yeah. Attract is the right word. To okay. magnetize. I call it to yeah. magnetize. Your entire being has to emanate what you're worthy of mm-hmm. as one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In our individual existence, we are a collective of all the parts we are.
Yeah.
The physical parts and the spiritual parts. And all of it has to express unity and has to express one belief.
Mm-hmm.
And that we mirror to the world. And this is how the universe knows what to give us. We become a magnet to what we want.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people who we don't define as good, they think they are worthy of everything. Therefore, they're very successful.
Mm.
So being good or bad has nothing to do with what we have.
Right.
Or it doesn't have anything to do with health.
Yeah. I mean, let's just go to the reality, too. Having all the things doesn't also necessarily mean that you're contented, happy, in your living your purpose or your being of service or whatever else, right? Like, we have been trained to think wealth and abundance is, like, it, right? And it's not it, you know, at least not necessarily for maybe for some people's experience, I guess. But I think that we inherently think that if I have all those things and have that, then I would be happy and content. And that's, you know, proven over and over again not to be true in the human experience.
We find that things cannot, external things cannot bring internal happiness.
Contentment.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's really something that has to occur inside the person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go back a little bit. So you had the voices that rose up in your head when you were a teenager and pulled you out of the supermarket or saved you in the explosion, didn't pull you out, but pulled you out of line.
Yeah.
And what happened from there that eventually led you here? I know you've talked a lot about, to me, you've talked a lot about struggle and trauma, or I don't know what the words were you used, but pain. And so perhaps you can give us a little more of how, because that wasn't just it, then you weren't just all of a sudden reading energy all the time and doing this work. How did you get?
I think that was the realization that I am hearing something that most people don't hear, and I'm seeing something that most people don't hear.
It validated that.
It validated it for me. Mm-hmm. But it was a big distance till I could, you know, be seen like that by my family or my friends. And then I learned I actually don't need to be seen like that by anyone. Later on, I stopped caring what people see. And I knew that when you validate yourself, other people will validate you. Mm-hmm. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy because still you have this struggle, the inside struggle of intuition and being a human. And I had to learn inside myself to reconcile those voices and the knowing. Mm-hmm. I had to become my first client, like I tell people.
Yeah.
And really becoming in alignment. And it took many, many years. In my early teens, I had a traumatic experience that shaped me a certain way and made me put on armor. Mm-hmm. I had severe eating disorders. Mm-hmm. And add that to a person who's already sensitive.
Yeah.
It became my means to control what I feel or to numb what I feel.
Yeah. Relate. Super relatable. Yes. Right.
So here I am, fast forward, and I know I have this gift. So then I know I have to heal from those stuff that I was doing before, right? Mm-hmm. And I knew I had to find silence. So I moved. I changed the center in my life, my environment. I needed to have silence in order to hear my voice, my own voice. Mm-hmm. And I had to stop hearing what people wanted me to be. I was supposed to be a writer because I write. But I found that until I came to my power, that's what I call it, I couldn't write. I couldn't accomplish anything until I become of service.
So until you healed and worked through some of your own human experience stuff, baggage, whatever you want to call the trauma. Mm-hmm. Until you could do that, it was like you weren't free then to do this work that you now do.
Right. By healing myself, by learning to love myself, I learned how to do the work that I'm doing now. Because I really was my first client. First of all, I learned nothing's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. I learned that I'm perfect the way I am. And if God and the divine made me like that, that's how I'm meant to be. Mm-hmm. I learned that I'm meant to feel all those things. And it's beautiful. And I'm going to be able to do so much goodness in the world. I learned.
What helped you heal? What did you do? What did this look like in your life at the time?
I stopped hiding. Mm-hmm. I stopped putting on armor. It took many years, obviously. Yeah. I
stopped using food the way you were using it before.
I literally healed myself from bulimia.
Yeah.
Because back then I went to a lot of specialists and blah, blah, blah. And nothing helped me. I healed my heart, I want to say. I gave my love to myself. And that's what... I wasn't sick. I want to say that. We say heal, but I wasn't sick, and I don't see people as sick or broken.
Yeah, I don't view it that way either. But
Right. So maybe I don't want to say heal. I want to say I grew self-love. Mm-hmm. And when I grew self-love, I saw things the way they were. I mm-hmm. saw that nothing's wrong and everything is okay. Mm-hmm. And I just need to be just the way I am. And I have to accept myself and mm-hmm. validate. And it's okay if other people don't accept me or validate. I can coexist with them.
Yeah. I mean, life lesson, right? For so many.
For
right?
so many. Yeah. yeah. And I embodied that and I walked that path. It, mm-hmm. it wasn't a theory for me. I really walked that way.
Yeah. Maybe transform is the right word. Like you transformed the energy. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like how to relate that for people. But it was pain. You felt it was like pain in your body.
Yeah.
And so, the process to heal, transform, whatever, mm-hmm. return to love, whatever you want to call that, was painful for you. Uncomfortable.
More than uncomfortable.
Pain. Was, you like pain. Was, yeah.
Yeah. The word pain is powerful.
Yeah.
I think we grow from pain. It's mm-hmm. the one thing the universe used to motivate us to grow and move. So I think it's a powerful tool.
Which and kind of sucks half the time.
Yes, but when we learn to love it
yeah.
and to see it as a gift, yeah. we make miracles and we make magic. For me, it was first accept myself. That was like my base. Yeah. And then I really invested a lot of energy to become a high-quality human, mm-hmm. kind and giving and understanding and non-judgmental. Mm-hmm. And I think that was, the stepping stone. I forgave my life experiences. Yeah. I forgave my trauma. Mm-hmm. I forgave the people who caused my trauma. I stopped being angry at God. Why did you let that happen to me? I have such a strong intuition. Why I didn't listen to my intuition to protect me from mm-hmm. that trauma. I became grateful. I think I changed my channel to really work on gratitude. Mm-hmm. And in the same time,
mm-hmm. go, keep going.
In the same time, I kept observing and learning the universe and learning the systems and learning how the universe regulates itself.
Through the voices that you experience and the intuition you experience.
Yeah, it's not just voices. It's also I become knowing many times. Yeah. So if I'm in silence and I understand why this happened and mm-hmm. how to bring it to alignment. So if I had to summarize my work, I tell people I work with the universal electric box.
Okay.
So obviously not everything because I'm a human. I'm limited. I'm not God, but
well, you are God.
We are God. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I'm not the whole.
Yes.
I'm a little piece of it.
Yes.
But I took all of it together and I said to myself, "Do I want to stay in this world? Mm-hmm. If I do, what I have to find my own purpose.
Yeah.
People wait for the purpose to reveal itself. Mm-hmm. I decided I'm going to choose." Mm-hmm. And since I didn't want anything from the world and I didn't understand why I'm here, I said, okay, then what do I want to do if I don't need anything? What do I want to give? And then I realized I'm here to give. Yeah. I'm here to serve.
Yeah.
And it sounds easy, but I promise you it wasn't easy.
No,
it took many, many
easy.
Years.
Yeah.
I was in the spiritual closet for many, many years. Mm. I would have normal jobs, babysitting jobs, student jobs. I would never tell people about it. Till this day, some people that know me don't necessarily know what I do because I don't feel it's something that I need to talk about.
Sure.
And I'm still a student. I'm still learning. I'm still trying to improve myself. I had another milestone. Mm-hmm. Should I touch on that?
Sure. Hold on. There was one question. You said I had to forgive. I forgave God. And mm-hmm. so, you know, the challenge for me always is to undo sort of my again, upbringing and the negativity, the baggage I have from what I perceive organized religion did, you know, or has done in the world. Yeah. So I am very clear on knowing that I've got some hang-ups still that I'm working through. But when you say forgave God, to me, again, that sounds like there's some guy in the sky that you're forgiving. How would you explain what that meant for you, what that process was like for you?
Wow, it's a good question. I think I understood that I have to love everything that happened to me mm-hmm. because the yeah. universe, God, the divine will never, ever, ever cause me pain if it wasn't for a greater good. Mm. And I came to terms with that everything has a greater purpose. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it's fun, like I tell people,
yeah.
but it's for your greater good yeah. always. And I know for a fact that if I did not go through that years of pain and I had a serious trauma that happened to me. Mm-hmm. That episode, I would not be able to help people today because they made me able to feel every degree of pain almost. Mm-hmm. And they made me be so devoted to people and their well-being that I don't harm people. I'm so gentle the way I practice. I'm invested in people's success and I want them to thrive and be happy. And they had to cause me all this pain to train me for this
service. You. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. The only way to forgive really is to accept that they know better and that the universe does not make mistakes and the universe does not waste energy and everything is precise and designed to the T. And you don't have to undo anything. You just have to love and accept and trust that if something happened to you, it's for a greater good and it will come knowing to you and it will be revealed if you just trust and be patient.
Yeah, the understanding will be revealed to you in time.
And it never failed me. I have to tell you, I'm a skeptic and I'm impatient sometimes. And I have a big personality and a big energy. But I'll tell you, they never failed me. They saved my life more than one time, the life of people I love. They gave me knowings and I received information for people who saved their life. So you have to come to a place that you surrender and trust. And that's what it means to forgive. Oh, man.
Surrender peace, you know? Yeah. I think I mentioned that to you when we met the first time, but when I get my own intuitive hits, which I have my whole life been guided by them, and I just know, like you say, I just feel like I've always, like there's things I've just known deep within me, but I can just want to railroad into it and be impatient or move through the struggle. Like, fine, I accept that I'm working through the struggle, but like, let's hurry this thing up, you know? Right. And you don't get to do that. I mean, that's not the point. That's, you know, you don't. I appreciate what you're saying, that even though, you know, you even get these hits and knowings, that you still have to kind of come up against being patient and surrendering all into the time. It.
Yeah. I have to sit in patience so many times and wait for things that I see and tell people to come to reality, right?
Yeah. In our linear understanding of time.
Right.
Right.
Because there's no time, right?
Right.
I want to tell you something I've learned and I really apply it on myself. Time is our most valuable thing and it's our diamond. If somebody... to people who value diamonds, that's our diamond. So everybody gets to the finish line. We really don't want to rush it.
Yeah.
So even through your struggles and your challenges, please be patient and don't try to rush it to get to the end. Because we get into the end. We got this beautiful journey, life. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. We need to just take it easy, walk slowly. I when I say that to people, it reminds me how everybody wants to lose weight so quickly.
Yeah.
They don't understand that fast is not a good thing.
Right.
It's not. So just enjoy the ride, even the challenging and even the pain. Enjoy the ride because you don't want to get to the finish line quickly.
Right. What is the finish line? What do you mean by that?
The finish line for all of us. We know how the story ends, right?
Right.
We become a soul again and we
share the body. In a singular life or in potentially, you mean, so I guess what my question is do you mean the finish line in this life? I assume that you believe that there's more than one life that the soul goes through, or do you think that you have one singular experience like now in this time?
Do you mean the current soul that you have, the current flame? The current flame that we have has one path, and and it's through the body, it embodied, okay? And it's emanating through the body, and it has one path.
Do you think that flame has had other experiences as that flame in a different body, or a different realm, or a different...
It's a really... good question, and it's a little complicated because essentially when the flame, the soul goes back to God, to the divine, it does go through a period of time of individuality where it reviews everything it did here, but then it becomes part of the whole again.
Okay.
And then it can choose if to reincarnate. So
to individuate again.
Yes, but I cannot say from what it seems... not the same spark or flame as it was goes back to reincarnate.
Right.
It goes through changes. Maybe it adds on it more things. So I can't say because don't know.
Not as exact as we
want it to be. Don't think so.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Okay, so you talk about that some of your work that you love to do is to help other people's energy get in alignment, right? You said you made that statement the other day that I probably misquoted you, but something to the effect of alignment is a huge piece for you. So what does that look like when you're working with people? What do people come to you for? How do you help them create that alignment?
When people come to me, I hear their voice or their name or their... or I look at them, it's like I tap into a universal database, mm-hmm. and I become known, and I receive information for them from past, present, future, subconscious, mind, body, soul, spirit, and people who passed. So I start to see how they are aligned with their purposes and where they're going, what's in their way, how to get to where they want. Mm-hmm. Many times I hear people who passed, I hear name and initials, and people who passed really seek that connection with us, so they always have something they want to say. So I take all this information and I become knowing of what the person needs to hear in order to move along their journey, or what's missing energetically. What's energetically, if we call energy like an electric box, mm-hmm. what in the electric box is not wired correctly that's putting someone in a halt? Mm-hmm. So, and energy changes every second, so every day I will see something else. So whatever God in the universe decided I need to know, mm-hmm. and the person needs to know, whatever they perceive as top priority, that's what I receive for them. So it's almost like I call things into alignment, because as I speak to them, they hear in from the divine and God and the universe the missing things that they need in order to move along their journey. Mm-hmm. My work, I do some hands-on work, and some my work I also do by talking to people.
Hands-on meeting energetically on the body or above the body? Or do you
above like the head, mm-hmm. yeah. But it's really the work of moving energy, which mm-hmm. means transforming energy to be something else, or increasing someone's voltage so they can be a match to what they want from life. Mm-hmm. I do want to touch about that, so ask me about that later,
okay.
how we can actually get what we want.
Yeah. I'm going to write it down.
Yeah.
I've got another thought that I'm asking.
So I feel like I basically turn the lights on for people so they can see themselves and they can see how they're loved and how amazing and how talented and gifted and capable. And when they start to see how I see them, mm-hmm. then they also become knowing.
Yeah.
And they get the tools to go after what they want from life. And that's really my mission statement, to encourage things to come into alignment. Mm-hmm. I talked about that before, how our being is made out of many parts.
Right.
And all the parts needs to be on board and need to be facing the same direction in order for us to be a magnet. Mm-hmm. And in order for us to be mirroring to the universe what to give us. Mm-hmm. So that's my work, to help work on those pieces, to bring them into alignment, and so someone can just be a magnet to everything they want.
Right. And I've heard recently that it's described as this, or that essentially like the impulse or the desire of the soul essentially would never lead you astray, right? So the things that you want, right? We're not just talking about like I want a red Lamborghini, right? But that like the deeper wanting, I imagine that that's more of what you're doing than just you know, we talked, I think, last time about the secret, and that it was like just such a material sort of plane, the law of attraction, just attracting all these things, right? Mm-hmm. I imagine, at least, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but the work that you're doing is more deep soul alignment. So manifesting what's going to create greater contentment or greater acts of service by these people that you're coming in contact with. Mm-hmm. How would you describe that?
We're making the soul more dominant. Mm-hmm. Than the body. So the soul can emanate itself and it can use its spiritual gift. I call it magic, basically.
I like that. Magic's good.
Yeah. So the soul can activate the body, mm-hmm. right? We come here all-knowing. We come here magical. But we have a screen, and once we are born, the screen is closed for us. Mm-hmm. And basically the whole journey here is to be able to evolve and open that screen. So we find a perfect balance between the body and the soul, and we can actually get what we want mm-hmm. from life. It's not about manifestation, which I'm not a big fan of that word, I will tell you.
Okay.
And I think the secret is the truth watered down, because it ignores the rule of karma and the rule of what's meant to be and a lot of other energetic universal truth. Mm-hmm. It's about evolving and becoming in alignment with yourself, so you are non-verbally a magnet to everything you want.
Okay.
And the universe doesn't need to hear you say, I want my guy to be blonde, blue eyes, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That's manifestation. It doesn't need you to do that. It needs you to know who you are, to be a whole person. Mm-hmm. And that indication sends a frequency, sends a voltage of, okay, electromagnetic field. That's mm-hmm. what we are.
Yep.
It sends from your electromagnetic field a voltage to the universe. And by that, you become a magnet to things operating on the same frequency. Mm. And it's always what you want. Mm-hmm. because it's amazing, because the universe knows who you are and knows everything, and it's amazing.
Right. But if you're stuck in negativity, right, this is the thing. If we get stuck in these habits and these traumas we haven't healed and all of that, you're essentially also continuing to attract that, right? What you think you don't want, but that you keep sending out. Wouldn't it work the same way in the negative field? Or negative, with quotation marks, air quotes, like whatever we perceive is not good.
So we each have energy, mm-hmm. and we focus our energy on whatever we choose to focus on, our awareness.
Yeah.
We get, when we focus on something, we get more of it. So mm-hmm. if you focus your energy on feeling a victim and the world betrayed me and God did that to me, you're going to keep receiving experiences mm-hmm. that reinstate that.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
I really want to encourage people to get out of the victimhood mentality that we have in America.
Yes, please.
Take responsibility for your path. Mm-hmm. Stop looking at gender, color, authenticity, religion to separate you from other people, because honestly, we're one. Mm-hmm. And those little things are just our circumstances. It's just the flavoring to our plot. Mm. Okay, it's the ingredient we add to our dish. Mm-hmm. It's not to define us. It's just to start us on our journey. Mm-hmm. And people take those things so seriously. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and it just becomes more division and separation, right? This is like the dualist 3D thinking, right? That everything's separated, different. That's why we have so much hate and discord.
And that's what brings suffering. When we see in the world suffering, I'm going to say something that people might have a hard time to accept.
That's okay. That's all right.
But I am convinced to my heart that tornadoes and fires and storms and all that stuff is really self-hate that we're inflicting on ourselves, because the universe always mirror to you what you are. So we're seeing all that, and people can talk about climate change and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We're causing it, and not necessarily by just throwing plastic to the ocean. We're causing it by the way we carry ourselves in the world.
Energetically, like the collective consciousness, the collective energy.
We are a magnet to war. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we get storms and fires and hurricanes and tsunamis. Mm-hmm. We're a magnet to that because mm-hmm. we're creating that. We are fighting inside all the time.
Interesting.
The inside war. Yeah.
Yeah, super interesting. You talked about a spiritual ladder. And so you mentioned the finish line, but also the spiritual ladder. You want to hash some of that out?
So the finish line is when we go back to God.
Right.
Okay. So as long as we're here, nothing is the end of the world. I like to say that.
Yeah.
And spiritual ladder is basically increasing one's voltage so they are matching more and more what they want. But it's not about receiving stuff. It's really about we are in a constant energy exchange with the universe and God, and we're in constant communication. The more you evolve, the more you're communicating. Mm-hmm. So you can walk in the world always knowing the heads up, always knowing where to turn, how to take control of your path, mm-hmm. how to create. Or you can be a human that doesn't communicate, that I call it sleeping, sleepwalking, and you miss out on all this beautiful thing because mm-hmm. you're not climbing the ladder. You're very comfortable to stay where you are. And that's okay, too. And I'm not saying everybody has to evolve. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that. Not everybody needs to evolve. Yeah. If you're happy and content, I'm so happy for you, and do what's best for you.
Yeah, I actually wrote down that as a note. So spiritual ladder is this practice of evolution, essentially evolving your experience of your soul, right? Do you, I'm going to step back in a second to sleeping, but the way that it almost sounded the way you were saying it was like everyone's going to become so deeply knowing that they're going to have the gifts and skills you have. And I don't think that's what you're saying necessarily, but that at least in their own experience, they'd be able to feel those intuitive hits and knowing the next right step or which way to turn in a situation or how to create, attract that deep desire. Is that what you're saying? Or are you saying that people would become as tapped in as you are?
No, I'm not saying people will become or do what I do because they're not meant to.
Right.
I guess we don't need everyone to be awake to that level.
Yeah.
And I have a long way to go myself. I'm just saying I'm still a student and I have so much to do. We don't need it. That's not our purpose.
Right. Unless it is your purpose, but that's...
unless it's one's purpose, but as a whole, it's not our purpose that everyone's awake, because then what are we doing here? There's no journey or a mountain to climb, right? Mm-hmm. So we're here to climb a mountain. What I'm saying is there are two types of humans. Mm-hmm. So two ways to carry yourself in the world.
Perfect segue. Right? Yeah.
You can be a sleepwalker, which is perfectly fine.
No judgment.
No judgment. We want the best for you. If you're happy, I support everyone that's happy.
Yeah.
But that means if you're sleepwalking, you're not aware of this subtle communication that you're constantly receiving from the universe. So you don't really know where to turn, how to turn, how to go about things, how to create, how to manifest. Mm-hmm. And you constantly live in a sense of fear, mm-hmm. and you don't feel safe in the world, and you're affected by politics and war and news, and you buy into everything the cultural system and the human system are trying to sell you and control you.
Yeah.
And you're confused and depressed and anxious, and you buy things because you think you need the next iPhone or the next car. And I'm going to say again, that's one way to walk in the world. I find that most people are not happy like that because they're not in a state of peace and harmony in themselves. So that one way to be. I do want to say some people can be sleepwalking and be extremely happy again. So yeah. I don't want to say it's a negative thing, even though I described all those things.
Yeah, but I think that's totally relevant, that you could still be relatively content and also pretty asleep to the behind the veil, so to speak, right?
Because sometimes we don't know. If we don't know what we're missing, then we don't feel we're missing anything, and we don't know that we're miserable, okay?
Yeah.
The other way to walk in the world is to be an active participant in this experience and to constantly be communicating with the universe and observing like I do all the time and other people and understanding and receiving and asking and inquiring. And you find yourself, first of all, feeling a part of something bigger than you, and you find yourself that you don't walk alone and that the universe wants what you want, and you have a support system, and you feel loved and connected and safe, and you don't take life too seriously, and you don't feel like you have to chase after things or after glory or after money or after fame. You feel like things just come to you, and you know how, most of the time, you know how to walk in the world, and you still have challenges like every human, but you don't take them personally, like God did it to you. And, and you really come to a sense of surrendering, of understanding, then it's okay, it's serving a purpose. And I find that when we walk in that way, life is much easier and so fulfilling and so exciting. And you get to discover new things and new powers and new abilities. And you can be a lawyer or a doctor, or you can be a writer, or you can be a mother, whatever you choose to be, it makes it better. It doesn't matter what you choose to be. Our job is not necessarily our purpose.
Right.
It started as something we do for money, right? Mm-hmm. To make ends meet. Most of us are so blessed, we end up making our job as purpose, our creation.
Yeah.
But you don't have to.
Most people who are awake, I think, are able, or who are in the process of awakening, I think, are able to do that, to make their work also deeply aligned with their purpose or soul's path or whatever you want to call that. I think that what I've noticed, at least in the world of observing people, which I've always been a great observer of life and humans, I think very similarly to you, I've just felt like so many people then who are unhappy and discontent, it's because their job doesn't fit them, right? And they're being asked to wake up and move, right? And you talked about action. You talked about things come to you really easily, but there's also a huge piece of action even in being awake, right? It's not like you wake up and then everything's like kumbaya and easy and there's no struggle and there's no pain anymore and you're just like, I got everything coming at me. People are just sending me checks in the mail, right? It's not that.
No.
Yeah.
It's more, first of all, nothing comes for free. I want to say that again.
Yeah.
We are in a constant energy exchange with the universe. They taking energy from us in the form of money and sometimes, unfortunately, health.
Yeah.
Every time we receive something from them, every time we receive a lesson or when they open a door, we have to work hard. The work is never done, and one should really see themselves as a student here. Okay,
Earth school,
exactly.
Yeah,
this is the world of action. In order to move in this type of world, one has to make an action. The soul emanates itself through the body, and they create an action. The action releases the energy. So that means you have to make an action in order for the universe to do its part. You have to make the first move. And nothing will come for free to you. But when I'm saying you have to make the first move, I'm also saying make the first move and you will make the universe open the doors. We do not make doors open. They are being opened for us, but we are showing that we are prepared and ready mm-hmm. and willing to do the work.
It's like this co-creation, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and the energy credit, right, or raising your voltage and your frequency to then say, I'm ready for what's next, right? Mm-hmm. And that takes work for most people. It's not like they can just come to you. I mean, maybe that does help, that you illuminate things for people. But there's still work. It's not like you come to Rachel, she does her magic, and now... voila, yeah.
I definitely illuminate things for people, and I think people are incredible, and I'm so inspired by everyone who comes here because they do the work, and mm-hmm. I see miracles every day. I have to say that. I'm so grateful and blessed because I get the best people, and each of them is my teacher, and it's amazing. But, yeah, it's easier because I get to know for people what they should do or can do or their path, and then they walk it so bravely, and it's so beautiful to see what happens. Yeah. It inspires my own journey, I have to say.
Yeah, what incredible. I mean, it's so interesting. Everybody I've interviewed so far, it's like it always comes back to service. I think people who are on their soul's path, I've interviewed people who are, you know, just a principal at a high school working with emotionally impaired, or somebody who's working as a coach in the corporate world and all of that. But there's such gratitude in all of the people that I know that are so amazing that they're being of service in a really powerful way to other humans as we all kind of walk this path together. Mm-hmm. And I love how you just said that about yourself, right? That you're just so grateful and that everyone's your teacher. And I think that's the truth for all of us if we're willing to accept the lessons. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to look at my questions here and make sure that we haven't missed anything super. So what would you say would help people if they wanted to become more awake?
Wow. First of all, you have to make sure you are a high quality human being.
Okay. And that was compassion, kindness, that's love.
To be
non-judgment, I think those are the words you used.
Judgmental, mm-hmm. which means to really understand you don't know how it is for other person and you don't know their journey, and just stop judging them and mm-hmm. think you know better than them what's best for them. Mm. And whether it's their religion or their way they choose to eat, whatever that mm-hmm. is, you have to understand always lead to the same place, so just leave them alone. Mm. It's being kind and generous to a fault. That's being a good person. Mm-hmm. It's being emotionally intelligent. Mm-hmm. It's being able to express what you feel. It's being able to coexist with people who are different than you. Mm-hmm. For example, I would like to see people are able to coexist even if they have different political views.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be magical?
That's how it should be.
Yeah, absolutely, it should.
It's respect people's boundaries mm-hmm. and their freedom of speech mm-hmm. and choice. Not to put yourself down. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to you, all the things that I've done to grow my own self-love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what I am doing currently to make sure I'm a high-quality human before mm-hmm. anything else. Mm-hmm. Stop seeing yourself as separated from the person who asks for money on the corner of the street. Go and hug them. I think that's going to serve you a lot more than it's going to serve them.
Absolutely, yeah. It's being deeply compassionate.
Yeah, but in a real way.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seeking to understand.
Right. Always seek to understand the other side before mm-hmm. you judge. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you don't judge, but yeah. I'm not saying to be perfect. I'm saying validate who you are. Be angry if you need to be angry, but own it. Own your stuff.
Yeah.
Take care of your mental health. Nourish it. Take care of your body. Be grateful to it because it holds you. It carries your beautiful soul mm-hmm. so you can be here. Be grateful for that. Mm-hmm. Stop speaking negatively to the world. Mm-hmm. Be careful with your words because words are a weapon. They're a power. Mm-hmm. Surrender, believe, slow time, enjoy time. Don't rush. Don't necessarily try to chase money. Don't try to collect things. Mm-hmm. We don't take them with us, so it doesn't matter. It mm-hmm. doesn't matter. I promise anyone that wants the big house, the big car, good for you, enjoy it, but you're not taking it with you. So mm-hmm. just keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Share what you have. I want people to understand money belongs to God. Mm-hmm. It's just an energy exchange. Don't hold too tight, okay? Mm-hmm. We have money in abundance. There's money for everybody. Share what you have. Move money. It's energy. There's
everything in abundance. That's sometimes so frustrating to me. Nobody should be starving. There should be no issue with clean water. There should be none of it should exist in the modern world. And it's so frustrating, the scarcity and the grabbing and all of that and feeling.
Right.
This just brought me to, I think some of us who feel so sensitive to all of that, it's so easy to fall prey to feeling powerless to making these changes in the world. What do you think? I mean, obviously you've talked about energetic credits, but mm-hmm. for people who are moved by what you're saying, how do we, as humans having this spiritual, soulful experience, not fall prey to feeling like powerless?
Stop watching the news, okay?
Yeah. I took that step a long time ago. Yeah.
I want to say that someone makes a lot of money out of making us afraid and feel isolated and separated from each other.
Yeah.
Someone makes a lot of money out of politics. Every time you know someone makes a lot of money, that's cannot be universal truth, okay? Mm-hmm. So politics is false. I'm going to really say that out loud, okay? And news, again, they're not really reporting. It's not journalism anymore. No. It's just someone's making money, so they gotta make you an addict to their news, so you keep coming back for more, and they can run more ads.
And you could be more afraid.
Exactly.
And so, need more things to comfort you and numb you.
Exactly. So I want to promise you, news is not real. All news are fake news, in my opinion. Yeah. Politics is fake. We don't need it. Mm-hmm. Stop looking for the outside to tell you what is, and mm-hmm. you need a lot of silence in order to hear your own voice.
Yes.
It's essential to your well-being and to your mental health and to your body and happiness. You have to have silence, and you're going to download that everything is fine. I promise you, everything is fine. Mm-hmm. And we take life too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a game we play. We come, we go, we come, we go. Every time we take another body, mm-hmm. we play another role. It's like a show.
Yeah. I at one point, when I really started to understand, like, it's just a big game, it was both a relief and like a WTF. It really is just a big game in lots of ways. And if you can do that, and by game, I mean like a theater, like it's a play, you know, it's play. And if we can start to take that attitude, I think that you can then release the grips of fear and scarcity and all of those things and step back and be like, okay, like, if it's all not that serious, maybe I can actually enjoy this more, including the pain and struggle and grow. Yeah. Because I always talk, like, in the classes I teach in yoga, like, I still have the immediate experience of humanness when something goes wrong, where I'm pissed, angry, sad, frustrated, depressed, woe is me, right? I have a pity party for one, or a slight temper tantrum, right? But I feel like as I become more, as I evolve more, that I'm able to do that for less length of time, wallow in it less, and step back and go, okay, what's in this for me to grow and learn from? What's the lesson here? Mm-hmm. What's mine to own? What's mine that was never meant for me? Like all of that, like that ability. And so when you take, it's such a huge paradigm shift to ask people to go, look, it's not that serious.
It really isn't.
It's not even really real as we experience it to be. You know, it's a game.
Yeah, it's a game of life.
It gives you a way different sense of freedom.
Right. We have it so good here. Look, we came here, we have nature and water and electricity, and everything is provided for us, and we are just ruining everything because we're taking life so seriously, and most of us are existing in the sense of lack, right?
Yeah.
So we want to hold more and more and more. Mm-hmm. So money, food, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So
power.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's all false. It doesn't matter. We go back home and then we don't care about all these things.
Yeah.
So for us is to have fun and to create and to contribute to the expansion of the world and to give and also to receive. And we don't have to take life so seriously because it's really not that serious.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about how the universe gives lessons. I call them gifts. I don't call them lessons.
Yeah.
Well, we're all physical and we're humans. So the universe has to use us to be messengers for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you receive something, even if it's painful to you, see it as a gift. They want to give you something. They want to push you along your journey. So yes, they use that person, the coworker, the friend, the neighbor. So the neighbor chose how they're going to deliver that gift to you. And maybe they didn't do it so nicely.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, they were chosen by the universe to give you something that's essential for your growth. So when I remember that, I take it with God. I don't take it with people. I'm rarely angry at people.
Yeah.
Because if I want to be angry, I'm going to be angry at God.
Yeah.
That's why you protect your energy. You protect the other person's energy.
You're not contributing negativity back towards them.
I want to talk about negativity. I want people to take it seriously. We do have a concept of evil eye and curses. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, these days, most people, especially in America, cannot deliberately put a curse. But we have eyes on us, unfortunately.
I think you're not skilled enough.
Thank God, they have better things to do. but I do work a lot with dissolving evil eyes from people, and we see that in the Middle East cultures, right? That it's a real thing. It's an energy block. It can literally be like God forbid, a blood clog in someone's energy, and that inhibits someone from. from getting what they want from life. And it can affect your health, it can affect abundance, relationships. It's a real thing. It's a literally real thing. And that is caused by jealousy, negativity, feeling that we're a victim, that someone did something to us. Mm-hmm. So we really have to be careful. We are God, like we said in the beginning. We can cause and we can destroy and we can grow. So we have to be very mindful of the power we have.
Yeah, so be responsible for your energy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Please stop being a victim in the world. You're missing out on life.
One of my favorite quotes of all time, and I think it was actually Maya Angelou, but she always, and I used to always say it in yoga, but be responsible for the energy you bring into any space, right? And we're in this big human space, and more that science confirms what the spiritual is saying, right? It's every energetic offering that comes out of your being is contributing either to the collective credit or discredit, I guess, is the opposite, the negative side of it. And so that taking that immense responsibility and really the beauty of that, because that on the other side of that is that your positive contributions also have this beautiful, broad ripple.
So we know today that one person can raise the frequency of 600,000 people. We know that. So one person who vibrates on a very high voltage can raise, a whole city, basically. Mm-hmm. So, and science proved that, each of us have an electromagnetic field, which means we have a voltage. So keep that in mind. It takes only one of us to raise everyone else.
Yeah.
So we're that powerful.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to the process of awakening, is that once you start to wake up more to those realities, you become part of that beautiful energy that's helping others rise up and increasing the frequency. And this is how we affect positive change. So how to be not so disempowered by the world, right? It goes back to full circle, is to take charge of your own personal energy and power in order to then positively affect.
We talked about the elections and the
politics
and president. So I know a lot of people are upset with the results and they're not supporting the current president, but I want to offer a different solution. I want to offer that if you focus your energy on blessing and supporting that president, he's going to be raising up and he's going to do good things in the world. And you have to remember, what do you want to achieve? Okay. The universe is a functional existence. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have to be super clear about what we want to achieve. We want to see America thriving. Mm-hmm. Okay. We cannot make America thriving by dividing and fighting and bashing the president and going against him. That's going to lower his frequency.
Yeah.
It seems to be not super high anyways, frequency. I would like to help it to go up. So I bless him all the time.
Yeah.
I want to see him successful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because it's successful for everyone.
Exactly.
Right?
We are one. We have to take such good care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, that's the first step of spiritually evolving.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about recycling or eating plant-based or that's nice, okay?
Yeah.
But it's not about being liberal or Republican or whatever. It's not about that.
Right. It isn't a hierarchy in that standpoint. We so often want to say, if you're... I've seen so often in the world of spirituality that there's like what we'd call spiritual ego, right? That, plant-based and lives on an ashram or certainly from the world of yoga or, so evolved in this... That just becomes another expression of ego and judgment and negativity and hierarchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's not a lot of oneness when somebody's at the top.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. You don't want a guru. You don't want to, you do not want to put anyone on a pedestal.
Yep.
We're all learning here. We're all students, everybody. And we all sharing. I'm sharing from my path. You're sharing from your experience. And then we become one.
Right. It goes to, I did write down a question when I was kind of gathering myself here before. And I was going to ask you if you believe in the goal of, and we've talked about this a little bit, of enlightenment or becoming so fully awake. But you've already sort of answered that your job isn't to become purely spiritual on earth, right? That you're still, right? I heard somebody say this was the most poignant way I've heard it said in a long time. I'd be curious what you think. But the intention is to be 100% spiritual and 100% human, that you can dance really beautifully in both of these experiences, that you can embrace the beautiful mess that lots of us call it, or brutiful is one of my favorite words, because it's like that pain and then also the beauty and the growth and the evolution. Do you believe in this idea of enlightenment or becoming fully awake? Or
I don't. I really don't, because we are already fully awake as a soul. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't come here if we wanted to be fully awake here.
Right, you just stay back where
right,
you were.
Exactly. Right. The soul comes pure. All the old writings we have from all the cultures talk about that mm-hmm. the soul is all-knowing.
Mm-hmm.
We are here to find the balance between the body and the soul mm-hmm. that bring them to alignment so we can carry ourselves in harmony and peace and be creating.
Yeah.
And so I don't believe in all those terms. I do know that each of us has a screen.
Mm-hmm.
And that screen controls how much light we receive, and mm-hmm. that's what I call magic and power. That's mm-hmm. the light we get from the higher worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it we each get based on what we're meant to do in the world. So yeah. It brings me back to what you were saying, if everybody meant to do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
No, because it
wouldn't
not
make sense, obviously.
No.
But yeah.
We probably need you to invent a cure for cancer, or we probably need you to mm-hmm. Educate people, and we need you to do other things that I cannot do.
Right.
And other people cannot do, but it doesn't mean you cannot be highly intuitive in your own life
right.
and walk.
And waking up,
yeah.
right, just going to look different for a different, based on what gifts you're here to bring and what purpose you're here to fulfill.
I think waking up for me is understanding the universal truth and being in a constant communication with God and the universe. To
mm-hmm.
me, that's waking up.
Yeah, I think that's a great definition. Yeah.
yeah.
And just and removing some of the veil that you see the world through a different lens, you know. People call it, in the worlds that I'm in, I keep hearing 3D and 5D consciousness, right? But that there's just this different level of understanding. It's like a broader, more expansive and inclusive view instead of the limited view that we've been, that the world placed on us, for a lot of us at least, sort of this dualistic, good,
yeah.
bad, right, wrong, black, white.
This is man-made.
Yeah.
And it's okay. We needed those systems. We
yeah.
needed that.
But we don't need it anymore.
At least not all of us.
Yeah.
We really should not be seeing things as good or bad. It's very limiting. We
yeah.
need to see it as what function they serve
mm-hmm.
and make peace with that. I wanted to touch on the journey of becoming awakened, of
mm-hmm.
becoming plugged in, I call it.
Yeah.
It really takes a lot of time. It did not happen to me in one day, and I'm a newbie still. I'm still a student, and I will always be a student. But like we said, I had milestones.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I kind of climbed the spiritual ladder and I jumped,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to touch about another milestone that I had. When I was already fully aware of what I have and that I'm going to do what I'm doing, I started to have very strong headaches. And I had basically a horrible health challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I was put on horrible medicine that made me more sick. And I went home. And when I went home, doctor said that I have something else. And here they said I have a growth in my head. And as I becoming more sick and I'm looking at God and the universe and I'm saying, what's going on? You didn't give me the heads up. I didn't
mm-hmm.
get the intuition. I usually get intuition before everything.
Right. Oh, yeah, why didn't I see this coming?
Exactly, and
right.
what's going on? Why
yeah.
are you doing this to me? Like, I'm finally understanding after everything that happened to me in my life, I'm finally in peace with myself. And then one day, I was getting really sick from the medicine. They
sure.
gave me a horrible medicine. And one day, I was sitting with those headaches, and they were excruciating and super painful. And then I started to hear the voices. And this is when I realized I don't just become knowing of energy and hear my own intuition and know things and
mm-hmm.
and read universal electric books. I seem to also be hearing people who passed away.
Mm.
I used to see them and sense them, and I would know, oh, this person is on you. They
mm-hmm.
passed. I started to hear them.
Mm. So it's like somehow the headaches were all that energy building up and being blocked, and you didn't know how to translate
yes.
it yet.
I didn't know what to do,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, after like a year of like taking stuff and being sick and going home and coming here, and that's what happened. That
mm.
the voices started to come, and then they taught me how to do it, and I'm still learning. And I realized we are so bigger than what we think. We do not die. Our energy is forever. We're so magnificent, and they teach me so much, and that also empowers my practice and my own journey. Mm-hmm. But I will say it wasn't easy again. It mm-hmm. wasn't easy. The universe doesn't give anything for free. Again, it was another situation in my life that I had a lot of pain and fear. Mm-hmm. And I found the courage to stay with that. And they didn't fail me. They show me that I can actually hear stuff. And now I hear a lot of people who passed. I don't choose what I know or when they come, right? And then they teach me. They teach me that really all is well. Mm-hmm. And we take life so seriously. And mm-hmm. we're so loved. And we're so protected. And each of us has someone around always 24/7. And
spiritually, there's spirits with you 24/7.
It's energy.
Energy, yes.
Yeah, it's literally an energy field. Mm-hmm. I see them sometimes, so mm-hmm. it's a real thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a body, but think about that. Fire doesn't have a body.
Sure.
So it's a fire mm-hmm. with different colors. Mm-hmm. And they keep their personality. Mm-hmm. And then they will show the personality they had so you can recognize them. And they show who they are now. And many times they show the type of heaven. So I learned heaven is not one place. Everybody has a different heaven they choose.
Interesting.
It's just so fascinating.
Yeah.
And I learned that they are a gatekeeper to each of us. And I learned that when we are named after someone, it created an energetic responsibility.
Interesting. Okay, so you talked about, I have gatekeeper yeah. written down. So we talked about this the other day, but these spiritual gatekeepers are often loved ones who have passed, yes?
Most of the time, a gatekeeper would be someone, even if they didn't know you, mm-hmm. and even if they passed before you came here, yes.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
They belong to your lineage, usually. Yes, your lineage of souls, yeah.
Got it. Yeah, that's so fascinating. And so you're truly never alone, that there are those gatekeepers with you all the time. What is their service? What do they do for you? Why are they there?
They are there to make sure you're going to walk on your path.
Mm-hmm. To nudge you?
Yes. I always tell people, we are their job, okay?
Okay,
so,
yeah.
The job of everyone asking me, what are they doing there?
Yeah.
They have a job. That's to protect us, to make sure we walk on our path, to mm-hmm. make miracles, to save our lives. Mm-hmm. They push you to the corner if you don't listen. You know how sometimes you get an intuition and you don't listen to it, and then all of a sudden the universe comes and kicks you in the tushy?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
your gatekeepers.
Yeah, you use kinder language than I do. I still like some powerful swear words, but yes, they kick you in the tushy for sure.
Yeah, you feel it.
Yeah. I always joke about that I wait, I hear it and I hear it and hear it, and I just wait till I get shoved off the edge, you know? Yeah, mm-hmm.
They advocate for us, mm-hmm. okay? In some sense, we're always on a trial. I'm not going to expand on it now, but because we have a bank account with mm-hmm. the divine, that means someone is always waiting what mm-hmm. we're doing. So we are constant on a trial there. I have to say that for people to understand. It's a serious thing to be mm-hmm. a human too.
Yeah. To see how you're going to sort of... how you're going to move through this and face your challenges, which kind of path you'll choose. Is that what you mean by trial?
Trial is like, you came this far, how much energetic credit do you have, what kind of scenarios will be available to you?
Ah, okay, got it.
We helped you to choose this, you chose that. So there's always a constant evaluation going there.
Got it. You mentioned something the other day that they're rooting for you in some ways. Always
so much. Yeah. So much. The gatekeepers are invested in our well-being. They always talk to us, and I wish everyone can hear. They like to come in our dreams. They like to play with electricity. Mm-hmm. If you've seen numbers all the time, that's probably them. They're trying to establish a code with you mm-hmm. to reassure you. So for me, when I see 18 or 9, I know everything is okay.
Yeah.
The gatekeepers will make sure you meet your soulmate twin flame. And this is a topic I can talk about for hours, but I won't open
we'll do
it.
Let's do that next time. That would be a great place to start next time. Yeah.
And... they actually team up with someone else's gatekeeper when you're supposed to meet your soulmate. Mm. It's a beautiful thing.
So that's that divine timing, or people like to call it coincidence, but or divine alignment.
Divine intervention,
Divine intervention, yeah.
They love to do that, I have to tell you. Especially grandparents, they love to, they love it. I crack up because when people come sometimes, I hear for them, I made you meet your husband, and it's really
cool. Oh, I just got chills. That's so fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
That is fun. A couple of things you said as you were talking. You talked about courage, right? So, the courage, and I think that's so much. You've used the word courage and bravery, and I think there's so much language right now in our culture about courage and bravery and authenticity, and they've always spoke to me at, such a deep soul level, and I think that's what it is that in this human experience, are you willing to step into your courage and your bravery to face these gifts that you're being handed by the universe. And I just think that's so, such a beautiful way to, like, mm-hmm. look at it, and that you're so inspired by people's courage and bravery. And I feel the same way. I think human beings, the people I admire the most are the ones who have every reason to be broken, quote unquote, by life, but have, like,
right,
risen to that right. challenge in some ways. I lost the other one. But I love the idea of gatekeepers. Can you tell us a little bit about because I think people get confused. Is that my quote-unquote guide is often talked about? I know you have a different perspective on guides. I'd love to hear what you have to say about that, because I think that will be a question that I'll be – the people being – asking me later, why didn't you ask Rachel this? You know? so give me just a quick version of what do you see as your guides and how they come in and out and things like that.
So from my perspective and experience, guides are a few things. Are angels from higher and lower worlds that are come to guarantee an outcome or you walking on a path. So that's a guide. I just want to touch on angels. Angels are not people who used to be alive, okay? Right.
What do you call those? Just spirits?
Angels are universal transmission. It's like a computer order, okay? Right. And each angel is responsible for one little thing. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of them around us, not just two, okay?
Yes. Angels.
Angels are, in that sense, angels are also guides because they whisper to us all mm-hmm. the time. So if you ever wonder why you all of a sudden feel like judging someone or choosing something that's not for your good, or that's your lower world angels whispering, okay? They always constantly 24/7 trying to alter our decisions. Okay, I want you guys to
like
understand
a benevolent
that.
Energy or a good, in a good way or a bad way.
There's no good or bad, right? It's okay, a functional existence. So
for your ideal path or not, or just to tempt.
So I'm gonna
yeah, give me that, because I
have
don't
to
know
give
how
you an example
mean. Yeah, okay.
Let's say we have a banker and someone wants to give them money and to buy to bribe them, okay? Someone mm-hmm. wants to bribe them. Here will come the angels. They want to facilitate free choice, okay? Mm-hmm. Because this is fundamental to the person's growth, the way he chooses whether to take the bribery or not.
Got it.
The angels will make it intensely challenging for him to make the choice, okay? So the lower world angels will be the whispering of take it, you need the money, you have to pay bills, your mm-hmm. wife need blah blah blah, mm-hmm. and the higher world angels would be don't do it, it's stealing, all that stuff. Those are all the voices we hear. Those mm-hmm. are real stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know when it's helpful to know that when we feel sad and depressed, I want you to know those are little angels mm-hmm. whispering in your ear, mm-hmm. or when you want to be mad or judgmental, those are little angels, or when you want to hate someone because they have a different political view, mm-hmm. those are those angels, okay?
That are offering you the gift of learning, of overriding them, of choosing.
They're facilitating an opportunity of growth by making you choose unity, one, compassion, kindness, okay?
Like the trials, you said, like little tests and trials.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes
sense. Okay, it's very important to remember that so mm-hmm. so people don't buy into sadness and things like that so much, mm-hmm. okay? We have those guides. We also have guides who are not people who passed away from our lineage. Mm-hmm. They will be higher hierarchy souls. Mm-hmm. And those are typically souls who are not reincarnating anymore. And if somebody has something important to do in the world, everything is important, but something that's
yes,
like a milestone for the universe, mm-hmm. they typically go to that person and they to guarantee an outcome, okay, to make sure that they're around him. They also come when they need to save someone's life. They come when people die prior to their time to bring them back to life. So mm-hmm. if you heard about the near-death experiences, mm-hmm. all those
NDEs,
people.
NDEs, yep.
Exactly. There's so much to learn from NDEs. I really want to encourage people to listen to those things. And a lot of things that I download, you can find in the things that they're saying, because mm-hmm. they see what I see as, and I'm here still, thank
God.
And
by downloading, she means what she downloads as a knowing.
Yeah,
right.
From the universe.
From the universe, yes.
Yeah. So we have those type of guides. Typically, we always have one or two guides from our lineage. So that would be people who passed. We will always tend to have someone we're named after, either first name or middle name.
You also mentioned that because I asked you because I know that my maternal grandmother, who I am named after, which I had never made that link before, is one of my gatekeepers, or is my current gatekeeper. But she didn't pass until, 5 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So, or 6 years ago. So, I asked you, like, well, was there somebody before, right? And do they switch? And they can switch during
they
your
switch.
Life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they switch based on the purpose. It's all functional, right? So based mm-hmm. on the purpose. They typically switch when they want to be close to somebody. Should I touch on your specific case?
Sure,
do you want
sure,
me to?
Sure.
Did she miss a birth, missed out on a birth?
No, but just she met my daughter, but barely.
Okay, so yeah. They almost like changed,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So typically when something like that happened, they are going to want to be close to you.
Okay.
You have a name in common. You're tied energetically.
Mm-hmm.
So she will have to take her place as your gatekeeper. Okay? That's how it works.
Because of the name tie.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Name is power. Name is code. It's energy.
I mean, I'm interestingly named after both of my grandmothers. Hmm. So, but I know for sure that but I was closer to the one that yeah. lives around. Yeah.
We will have people that we were not close with
yeah.
that come to
yeah.
be gatekeepers.
I yeah.
find that a lot.
Yeah, you're like, oh. I mean, I wasn't necessarily very close to my grandmother, but I mean, yeah. closer, definitely. But.
I want to say even if we're not close to them in our human experience, it mm-hmm. doesn't mean we're not close to them
on the other side.
Home.
Right.
So, yeah. So.
Yeah. Fascinating. I mean, I could literally talk about all this stuff for hours. I think we'll definitely have to do this again.
Maybe we can get some questions from your listeners.
Oh, I would love that.
That
questions
would be fun.
From the listeners would be fun. I think talking about soulmates, twin flames, all of that would be really fascinating.
Yeah.
I can come up with 7,000 other questions because I love this stuff and I find it so fascinating. I just think it's so interesting hearing different perspectives, and I really certainly believe there's so much universal truth and just sort of different
mm-hmm.
interpretations,
right,
you know?
For sure.
Which is beautiful. Last thoughts?
Yeah. I want to say that everything that I share comes from my experience and from my understanding. I do not represent God or people who passed away.
Sure.
And I really want to encourage people to seek their own truth and maybe to use my sharing is inspiring, but I want to encourage you to seek after your own
sure.
truth, and because my truth is not necessarily going to be your truth, and
mm-hmm.
and I'm just a student. Like I said, I keep revealing new things every day and discovering.
Yeah.
So there's not one person who knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know everything for sure. And
yeah, I mean that's the dissolution of the guru. I think is actually a lot of what's happening now, and
right.
just trusting that. This might be information that cracks you open a little bit to have a different perspective on the way that you've been seeing your life. But ultimately, you have your own quiet voice. You, the listener, all
right,
of us,
exactly.
we each have our own voice, quiet voice, intuition, knowing. And that this process of awakening or just seeing the world differently is giving you permission to understand and listen to yourself, high self.
We yeah. don't need anyone between us and God.
Sure.
Even my religion say that. We
yeah.
don't need that. We have
yeah.
a direct line to him, and he answers all the time, 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Be your own guru.
Yeah.
But be inspired, be humble, and seek for people. And you know what? When you open to that, the universe will summon to you people or books or YouTube videos, whatever, that can help you in your journey.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope you take a little bit from what I said today, and you will use it to find your own truth and to inspire your own path.
Yeah, thank you. This was awesome.
Yeah,
I loved
thank
it.
You.
I had so much fun, and I'm looking forward to round two at some point. So thank you.
Thank you.